Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington, an original shark from the hit television show Shark Tank, and you're listening to the Underdog Podcast. I've been too high up to fall, question marks, what's up with y'all? All we know is overtime, barking like some underdogs. All we know is
overtime, barking like some underdogs. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Underdog Podcast. I am so excited to bring my friend Bruce here today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Man, the energy on the screens right now, what you're wearing, what I'm wearing, I feel like if we were to walk in the street, people would be like, whoa, who are these two?
I think so too. Pamela, thank you so much for having me be on your podcast. The Underdog is a privilege to be here. So thank you.
Privileged to have you. Oh my goodness. So excited to hear all about your journey. Like I said, right before this call, like I've read up on you. I've seen all the magical things that you've been up to in the universe. And I'm just so excited to really dig into your story and really everything and how you got to this point. And I know you've got a new book coming out. So we'll totally talk about that as well. But I would love to reel it back quite a bit, all the way back. So as a kid, Bruce, what did you want to be when you grew up? What was the dream?
Oh my goodness. The dream for me was to be a Broadway performer or to be in Hollywood in the silver screen as an actor. And I got close, you know, once I followed my dreams and I graduated high school and I moved to New York City at 18 years old. Eventually, I did make it to off-Broadway and discovered that that maybe not the avenue that I want to go. So to show up and, you know, I mean, I had many different dreams, but where I'm at today is unlike anything that I possibly could have dreamt of. So,
oh my gosh, I love that. I love that. And so how did you get into the Broadway space? So tell me about like where you grew up and all of the things.
So I grew up in a conservative area in Montana. And as someone who is openly gay, I didn't have a lot to connect or identify with in such a conservative area. So my parents allowed me and put me into theater where I blossomed and connected and made friends for the first time. I was bullied relentlessly as a kid. So going and stepping into the theater world and the dance academies that I was a part of really opened up the avenue for me to dream of being in New York or being on Broadway. And, you know, it was a lifesaver growing up and having that artistic outlet really saved me in so many ways. But, you know, I also spawned the dream of being something outside of Montana, which I followed. And yeah, no, growing up openly gay in Montana was not necessarily easy. And I'm sure it's not easy now, but it was definitely a rougher ride for me. And I'm just really grateful for my theater upbringing that introduced me into being able to step out into the world in a bigger way. And although it didn't go the way that I originally hoped or planned, you know, stepping into different addictions when I was younger and just really getting distracted by life and putting those dreams up on a shelf. Writing my book was one of those dreams. You know, I was inspired at a very young age from people who have shared their own story before me. And I was like, oh my God, that's my story. Like, I'm no longer alone there. And they inspired me to write my own book. But because I decided to use meth for a long period of time, that really stops you from living your life and from showing up in so many different ways. And so I did. I put that dream on a shelf and I didn't touch it again for a long time until I sobered up. And it's amazing what happened once I sobered up in my life and the amount of doors that opened and possibilities and things that I thought would never come true. Well, they do come true if you show up for yourself and you take action and you work hard. It's amazing what your dreams will bring to you, let alone they're going to happen in ways that you did not fully expect or greater than what it was that you were expecting. So keep going.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much for sharing that too, Bruce, because I feel like you touched on something so important, which is addiction, right? So, you know, stepping into theater, first, I love that you stepped into something that became a creative outlet for you, because that's critical, right? As a kid, I was also too bullied and I felt very isolated and I didn't, you know, this was in like middle school and I was a quiet kid back then. And after seventh grade, not so much, right? But that really changed me. So the minute that I changed environments is where I really started to blossom, like you said. And I think super key. So anyone who's really struggling with anything right now and you feel like you don't fit in, it's not that you don't fit in, you're just in the wrong environment, right? So the minute that you can flip that switch and change it, you know, change environments, it can change everything for you. So I love that you were able to find that outlet in that creative space where you felt accepted and free and all of that. And I'm sure that shifted so much for you growing up, which I think is super key. I've experienced it myself in my own way, right? We've all got our kind of different ways of experiencing life, right? And I think that that's one thing that we had a commonality with. And I think that's absolutely beautiful. And the other piece of that is when you were kind of touching on the addiction side, which is what so many people are struggling with right now. It's like we've got, you know, mental health is at an all-time high. Addiction is at an all-time high. Thank goodness that you were able to get out of it, right? And become sober and be able to tell this beautiful story and help others along their journey as well. So I'd love to hear kind of the story with that and what kind of pivoted you towards that change and see how it could help other people. Maybe there's someone listening right now that has a loved one that's struggling or struggling themselves or what have you. And I think hearing that story in a little bit more detail would be really helpful.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was for me when people shared their story, it shed light on places that I thought I was really just lost in the shadows on my own. And I felt completely alone. And when others shed light on that, it helped to pull me out of those shadows. So, you know, if you are someone who is going through a mental health crisis, maybe it's not even a crisis, but you just need some help going in the right direction, or you're struggling with addiction, and or you're watching someone go through addiction and you just don't know where to turn, I do want to let you know, I am not a medical professional. I'm only speaking from my own life advice and experience. And there is professional help out there that can provide resources if you are struggling. Dial 988. There are professionals waiting for you on the other side that will be able to provide you with those resources, and you can overcome and recover. For those who are watching someone go through their own mental health or their loved one's mental health or addiction battles, the thing is that I have experienced on my own side of it, watching back and reflecting on seeing those people that were supportive of me and watching me, is please know your limits. Know where that line cannot be crossed. And to realize that it is not your job, nor is it your responsibility, nor are you actually capable of solving someone else's problems. It's not how it goes. It's not how it works out. So know that line. Know what you're willing to deal with and how much of that you are willing to deal with in your life, whether it's abuse, toxicity, someone else's mental health crisis, or their addiction struggles. You can be there. You can love them. You can support them. You can take them to their first 12-step meeting. You can take them to rehab, but you can't make them do the work for themselves to get better. And that is the unfortunate truth. Don't enable them thinking that it's going to help them, because it won't. Literally, it will kill them. That's how serious it is. So know your limit, know when that line is going to be crossed and what you're willing to put up with. And also realize that it's okay to step out of their life and love them from afar. It's painful. It happens. But I would definitely, in my own experience, I'd rather step back from that toxicity or watching someone tear their own life apart than enable them to the point where they're to the point where they can't accept help or recover. So it's a dark road. It's not always a dark road. There is a lot of help out there for people who are struggling, and there's hope. We do overcome and we recover. You just have to be willing to take that action, to accept help and ask for help and show up. You don't have to be ready. You just have to be willing, and then the readiness will come. and take your time. Recovery in any capacity is not linear. It is not cookie cutter. We all have to learn what works for us individual as human beings. Take what works, leave the rest. That is so serious. It's so true. One thing might work for someone else and it may not work for you. And that is okay. That is okay. Not everything is for everyone. Not everyone is for everyone. So take your time, buckle up, enjoy the roller coaster of life, and just keep trying to be better than the version of yourself from 5 minutes ago. Whether that means that you need to rest and unplug so that you can eventually be better, it doesn't mean that you always have to be working on yourself and constantly trying to be better. You know, rest is a huge part of recovery, and people forget that. Right now in myself, I'm exhausted. I have a book coming out on April 9th. I've been on back-to-back meetings. I just did a 2-hour live on social media. I have this podcast. I have therapy after that. I have a meeting with my publisher. And if you can hear, exhaustion can be a trigger. So one thing that I've learned in recovery, halt. Are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? If you're any of those things, halt and address them. And right now, I'm exhausted. I am tired. And I am so excited about all of the opportunities. And I am so excited for that moment of rest that is coming not too far off in my future today, and to be able to recharge so that I can continue doing what it is that I do, that I love to do. And the only reason why I'm able to do what I do is because I'm sober. I wouldn't have anything in my life if I wasn't showing up in my sobriety, if I wasn't working the steps, if I didn't have a sponsor, if I wasn't going to therapy, if I wasn't still taking action for myself every single day. I wouldn't have any of this. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful to be able to show up sober and be exhausted. It's a gift, and there's so much that comes from that. So take the struggles as they come, be willing, be open-minded, embrace them, embrace the now, because it's what we have. I could go on and on. So I'm like,
no, yeah. It's fabulous. And I love that. I mean, that's a really cool tool. The halt that you just mentioned is incredible. And then I want to dive into your book shortly as well, but like, I want to hear all the things. So Bruce, in your experience, like when basically, how did you make that choice to sobriety and actually follow through with it? Right. Because there's a lot, I mean, even in my own experience, right, with people that I know that they want to stop, they know they need to stop, but they just simply can't. And what was your experience in that? And what were some things that helped you really make that commitment to say no more?
Well, I was dying. I was overdosing a lot. I was in and out of hospital stays. I was diagnosed with HIV at a really young age. And when I was overdosing with meth, I was a sex worker and I was doing it in a very unhealthy way. You know, there's a healthy way to do sex work and there's an unhealthy way. And I definitely chose the unhealthy way. I overdosed. And when I went to the hospital, I found out that I had pneumonia, acute hep C, and my HIV was borderline AIDS all at the same time, as well as an overdose. So that was a huge wake-up call for me. I kept saying before that experience, it's too hard. I'll never get sober. I can't do this. It's the hardest thing that I've ever had to do, and I just can't do it. I was giving that energy to I can't. When I really started to, once I was in the hospital and I was like, oh no, excuse me. It's not that I can't, it's I'm choosing to not. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving that energy to, this is the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. No, it's not. no, it's not. Like staying in that environment is the hardest thing that I ever had to do. Getting out of it was actually quite simple once I started to show up and do the work. That's the hard part, though, is that you have to show up and face the ugly feelings and face the horrible things that you might have done. Yeah, that sucks. But what's worse, staying in a life that's going to be a bomb waiting to happen, or facing the ugly shit to get to the good shit? What's worse here, you know? And once I woke up to that and I was in the hospital and I got all of that news, it was no longer a can't. It almost immediately turned to I have to.
Mm.
It's either do or die. And I don't want to die, so I'm going to do. And I did. And I wasn't a first-time winner. From that moment, I did the research. I looked for outpatient rehabs, 12-step meetings, therapy, you name it. I looked and I showed up and I started and I continued to relapse. And I relapsed over and over and over again. I wasn't a first-time winner. I didn't just like, oh, okay, I'm done. All is better. And lived happily ever after. That's not my story. And that's not millions of people's stories. They relapse, they fall. We're human. We need to learn mistakes over and over and over again until we actually click in with that lesson that we're trying to learn. So it did. It took me many tries. And now I have 10 years sober from hardcore drugs. And I'm in my first year of sobriety with alcohol. And it took me a long time. And I'm still learning new tools. And I'm still learning different ways to keep moving forward. And I'm still learning that I don't know anything. I don't have one clue what I'm doing. All I know is that I show up today and I take life as it comes and I stay sober no matter what. And because I stay sober, I'm able to face the good and the bad, the negativity, the positivity. I'm able to face all of that. And even though I may not know exactly in that moment what I'm doing, but I learn how to get through it because I'm sober.
I absolutely love that, Bruce. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for shedding light on that. And also the vulnerability of saying like, hey, you know, it wasn't just stop and go, right? Like, it's like there was times where, you know, you were tested and triggers came up and relapsed.
Oh yeah.
And all that, because I feel like a lot of people, they try it. And this is, you know, having loved ones and friends who have unfortunately been part of this. And they've always told me, you know, like, oh, Pam, there was a relapse, and then they get ashamed and then they don't, it's hard for them to go back because they feel guilty for that.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you're sharing that like, hey, like this happens. It's okay. If that does happen, you just keep making strides and keep making strides, because look at your case, you know, look how incredible everything is starting to turn out for you. And, you know, seeing the grass on the other side and like, how incredible is that? And now you get to write a book, which is incredible. How to Breathe While Suffocating. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Tell me about it. I want to hear all about the things.
So, yeah, you know, it's one of many gifts of sobriety. I was able to show up and finish something that I started years ago, and it turned into a book that's being published by one of the world's leading publishers, Wiley. Thank you so much. Shout out to them. It's really mind-boggling to me that this is where I'm at, but I wrote this book, How to Breathe While Suffocating, for everyone who feels like they're suffocating and that they won't overcome or that they can't. I really dive deep into shedding light in those darker places of my own life so that I can help, hopefully, pull people out who feel like they're alone, and to let them know that they're not alone, no matter where it is that they come from, what struggle they're trying to overcome, that they too can overcome and recover and show up and write your own freaking book or movie or star in it and be the director of your own life. Someone did that for me when I was in a really dark place. And now that I'm on the side of it, I feel a huge responsibility to pass that torch on to others who really need to be, you know, to have someone bring buckets of water to put out the flames that they're in right now. That's why I wrote the book. And it's not just about addiction. It's not just about recovery. It's about going down the dark holes and letting them know what my life was like as a sex worker, or being homeless on the streets at 16 as a runaway, and all of the different experiences that I went through during that time and the things I learned during that time. And when I started to face recovery, even though there were many struggles that would follow that, I'm buckling up. And that's what this book is about. It's about buckling up, going through the ride and accepting all of the good and the bad, but finding your way to take a deep breath when you feel like you're at your end, because you're not. And there's so much good coming your way if you keep moving forward. So that's what this book is about. It starts from the very beginning of my life, being born into detox from drugs and alcohol, all the way up until the point that I become sober from crystal meth when I was 23, 24 years old back in 2014. And it touches on a lot of the good, the bad, the dark, the ugly. And it is a very detailed, under the magnifying glass look at my life of everything that led me to who I am today. You know, we really do need that darker side of life to really appreciate the brighter sides of life. So yeah, it's How to Breathe While Suffocating. It comes out April 9th, which is right now. I'm so beside myself about that. And I go on my book tour starting on the 8th, kicking it off on the 9th in San Francisco. And I'm going to 18 cities for this book tour. It's really, really incredible. I can't wait to meet everyone who has purchased the book. I can't wait to meet my fans. I can't wait to see old friends that I haven't seen in years. I'm really honored and grateful to be able to share my story in such a deeper, more intimate, vulnerable way with the world, as opposed to a minute and 30 seconds of a video clip that you might see online. You know, this is it. This is in detail. This is all of it. So it's exciting. It's scary. It's all of the things.
That is so magical. I love that, Bruce. And I mean, it's just, I'm so fascinated by all of it. And one of the things that really stuck out to me when you were kind of describing the book and all that, is you described somebody that helped you. And then now is kind of the book is kind of your give back. Because I always talk about these cheerleaders in your life that can literally change your life. Just one person that pours into you can change your entire world. So I would love to hear a little bit about that, because I think it's super important for anybody who's listening. It's like, hey, there's always a cheerleader in your corner in your life, whether you're grateful for them or not. Do you recognize them, right? Are you aware of them in your life? Because they can change everything for you.
Oh, yeah. And I am so fortunate to the umpteenth time of how many cheerleaders I've had in my life. From the minute I was removed from my birth home, going through foster care, my adoptive parents, I thank every single person that was a part of that process. My adoptive parents, my mom and dad, gave me my entire life. I would not be who I am today without them. I love them. Shout out to you, mom and dad. You're saints in my eyes. All of the therapists, the psychiatrists, the psych ward staff members, the children hospital staff members, the nurses, the rehab center counselors, the therapists, the doctors, the sponsors that I've had in my 12-step journey, the 12-step meetings, the rehabs in and out, inpatient, outpatient rehabs that I've been to. There are countless, countless people that have been my guardians, those who have passed before me that I was friends with that are watching over when I was running away from home, the strangers that took me off the street to safely help me. I did not do this alone. I did not do this alone. I am so grateful for my close friends that have been there and watched me go through my meth addiction and stuck by me, even to the point where they were at, you know, they were at that point of like, Bruce, you can't be here anymore. You got to move out, or you got to get your shit together. I can't anymore. And they're still in my life today. My loved one, Teo, who has been there for the majority of all of it and is still in my life. I mean, the list goes on and on. All of Wiley, who have made this book possible, but those specifically who have encouraged me and cheered me on through my addictions and through my active addiction. I would not be who I am or where I am today without you guys, and you know who you are. To my entire fan base on social media, the endless encouragement, the BWB army that we've created is just unbelievable. There are days where I don't feel worthy of it. And I'm just, even in those days, I'm so grateful for it, because my life is unreal at this point. And I know I could lose it like that. And I'm really grateful for this moment in today.
Oh my goodness, that is so beautiful. And I can feel that beautiful energy and all the gratitude that you're feeling for all of these incredible cheerleaders in your life and all these catalysts in your life, right? When you've really recognized who's really been there for you, who's shown up, and then all the people that you weren't even made aware of. And when you start thinking about it, it's just like this overwhelm of like love and gratitude and all this just beautiful place. So anybody who's listening, like really take a look around because it is a whole army that is there,
It
you know.
is one group of people that I've also forgotten to give acknowledgement to are the people who didn't believe in me, the people who were trying to hold me down, my haters, the people who abused me in my life, the people that taught me what it is that I am no longer willing to tolerate in my life. I thank them. They're a huge part of this as well. And I hold a huge, huge place in my heart of love and compassion for those people because they're hurt people and they taught me just as much as my cheerleaders.
Amen. Absolutely. And those people tend to come in your life to learn those lessons, right? To teach you boundaries, to teach you all these different things, right? So there's a purpose for everybody in our existence. I think that's important that the recognition is there for sure, Bruce. Absolutely. And regarding your book too, I mean, I'm just so excited that, you know, you're putting yourself out there in your full story and like how many people it's going to inspire all around the world is going to be absolutely tremendous. And I would love to hear like one big takeaway or kind of like a snippet, if you will, from that book for everyone who's listening right now, even though it sounds extremely magical, as is, but would love to get a little sneaky peek.
Oh my goodness, there's so much that's packed in 250 pages. It's really, really wild. For those of you who follow me online, and if you don't follow me online, I always run up to the camera and I ask you to hold my hands and breathe. And at the beginning and ending of every chapter, it are affirmations in the form of the breathing format. So breathe. An affirmation, breathe an affirmation. And at the beginning of the chapter, it starts off with me speaking to the reader in that format. And at the end of the chapter, it transitions so that the reader can read it in terms of they're reading it to themselves. So it changes to I, meaning them, so that they can really take that in for themselves. There's this one section of the book where I'm on a Greyhound bus and I'm running away from home. I believe I'm on the way to Denver, Colorado. And there's this gentleman that's sitting next to me. And over the course of many hours sitting next to each other, he's got his Bible sitting on his lap. And he starts sharing his story with me. And he's lost everything. He's lost his wife, his friends, his job, his home. He's transitioning. He went to jail for robbery. Like, I mean, he was going down the wrong path. And now he's trying to fix that for himself. And I didn't really share much with him, but he just simply shares with me all of this information. And he warns me to not take anything for granted. Take the good, take the bad. Don't take anything for granted. And no matter, even if you have nothing, take what little you have and make it huge. And that did not hit me until years later. And when it hit me, it ran me over like a bus. And I was like, oh my God, I finally get it. Like, I finally hear that. And it just, there's little bits and pieces of this wisdom coming from other people during my crisis that I didn't get until years later. There's very vivid night terrors that were warnings of my own personal life, of roads that I was going down that I did not connect the dots until after they already happened. Kind of graphic in that way. Fun, I think. But you know, like the roller coaster, there's so much. I ran away to Denver, Oklahoma City, Dallas. My dad flew down to Dallas after I got sent to a children's shelter, picked me up, flew me home. And 2 days later, I ran away again and I stole the car and a whole bunch of money and went to Chicago, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas. Oh my goodness. And along that way, you know, found drugs, sex, alcohol, sex work, and all of the things. And the last city I went to was Las Vegas, and where I really had that, again, that do or die moment when I was 16 years old, you know, bathing myself in the replica of the Trevi Fountain. My feet were black. I was homeless. I was smelly. I was hungry, coming off of meth. Like, and now 18 years later, I'm going back to Vegas literally in like 10 days to present awards at the Cheer Choice Awards. And I'm nominated for two different awards. And it's a mile away from the Trevi Fountain in which I bathed myself 18 years ago when I was 16. And it's just this, life is a full circle. You can be in the worst place, and if you keep moving forward, you will be back in the exact same place in a completely different way, as a completely different person, in a much healthier version. I just booked the Salt Lake City Library for an event in my book tour at that very library. When I was 16 years old, I was a runaway bathing in their fountain. Just to have these full circle moments and to go back to these exact locations on my book tour, advocating to millions of people that you can overcome and recover. You have no idea what your life is holding for you. There's so much good coming your way. Keep going, because you can, and you're worth it. And I love you, and I'm proud of you.
I love that, Bruce. Oh my God, I got chills everywhere when you were talking about the full circle moments. But like, I got to give huge credit to you, because you made that choice and you chose that awareness that you created this, right? You became the author of your own book, quite literally, right? Of your life, right? And you created this full circle, because that full circle very well could have been that you were still there at that fountain, but you said, nope. Not me. And then look at the beautiful things that you get to do now. You get to have your book signings and book events at those exact locations where you were 18 years ago. Like, that is, if that's not full circle and beautiful and a testament to who you are and what you can do and how you can overcome, like, I don't know what is. That's incredibly powerful. So I want to give hats off to you, because you put in the work. It's one thing, you know, they say that the universe, you can ask, right? But then the universe will give you all the ingredients and the tools. But if you don't utilize those, you're not going to get that cake, right? So it's like, thing, you got to put in that work. You know, some people think that just manifesting things, just it'll just come about. Like, no. You'll get the tools to do so, but you really got to put in the work. So I've got to commend you tremendously for the work you've put in to get to this point, because it is definitely not easy. And you have come so far, and I hope that you stay in full gratitude for that, that like, look at where you're at because of your hard work. And I hope that in these moments, although it is going to be exhausting, you know, I think I pray that you find a kind of that joy when you look around and you're like, holy crap. Like, this is so cool, especially in those moments where you're going to be in those places. And that's going to kind of like come back in your mind, like, oh my God, you know, look at this. It's the coolest feeling in the world.
It is. And thank you. Thank you for that. I definitely want to enjoy this as it comes, and I can't take it for granted. I did work hard for it, but again, I didn't do it alone. I did pay attention to the universe when it was giving me those things that I was manifesting, and I didn't just pass them by and then complain that the universe didn't give it to me. I slow down enough to pay attention, and I do. I want to stay humble. I want to stay grateful, because I know what it's like to not be.
And oh my goodness, it's so powerful, Bruce. I'm just so excited for you, and I'm so excited for everyone in the world to really hear your story and read your book and all the things. And you've got to kind of let everyone know, like, where can we find you in your awesomeness? Where can they purchase the book? All of the things, all the details.
So actually right now, my publisher Wiley and myself have teamed up with bookshop.org. You can order the book at 15% off using the code LOVEBOOKSELLERS, all one word, all capital, at the checkout. And when you do that, we have a little surprise for you. When you follow the receipt instructions and the receipt confirmation, you will find how you can get a limited edition hand signed hand fan that matches the book. And when you order through bookshop.org right now, until the promotion is done, until the fans are gone, you will be able to get 15% off the book and the fan. And again, that is only for US only. But I do have a website, howtobreathewhilesuffocating.com, where you can find out all of the other ways that you can purchase it. The book is available anywhere that books are sold. It comes out April 9th. And also the book tour information is also on that website, How to Breathe While Suffocating. My other website, BWB Art, which also has some info about that. And I'm BWB.positivity on all social media. So Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. And I thank you again so much for having me on your podcast. I'm very honored to be here and to just share this with you and to receive your energy as well. And just to be a part of all of your listeners' journey. And, you know, I want to remind everyone that you made the wake up list today. So you have endless opportunity. Show up for yourself, take advantage, be your own advocate, be the engineer of your own outcome, because you can and you are worth it.
You are amazing, Bruce. Oh my goodness. You know, you're one of those people that I just want to run through a wall after I speak with you. So that like this like, you know, and you're like, you know, when someone hypes you up so much, you know, and you're just like, I love this person and their journey is so awesome. So I just want to tell you, thank you for inspiring and motivating me. And I know everyone who's listening right now is feeling the same. So I'm grateful for you. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for you to enjoy every piece of this journey and also the millions of people around the world that you're going to inspire. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's it for today's episode of Underdog. Catch us next week, always dropping on Thursdays. And remember, if you're interested in real estate or want to learn how to create more money and magic in your life, check out meetwithpamela.com and let's chat. Sending you so, so much love. Underdog. All we know is overtime, working like some underdogs.